Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour on this March the 11th on the West Coast, now March the 12th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. And just for Seth, yes, Seth, the volume is excellent right now, so... We'd like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and tonight's the last show of the week. Special time for me. I get to talk about science and things like power production and the universe and Nikola Tesla. We do it all on Friday nights with our guest. He'll be up shortly. First of all, we want to acknowledge the fact that there have been a series of disastrous earthquakes hitting Southeast Asia, certainly Japan. It's spread to Malaysia. These quakes have also worked their way into the Kamchatka region of Russia. And if what I read is correct, there's also some volcanic activity occurring. Now, we talk a lot about these events sometimes being orchestrated using technology. Tonight's guest very well knows the work of Nikola Tesla, and we have talked about Tesla's earthquake machine that he used when he was in New York. Of course, when he realized the damage it was causing, he took a sledgehammer and smashed it to stop it from doing what it was doing. And with the advanced technologies we have today, and even though they're advanced, that doesn't necessarily make them sacred or something to benefit mankind, it's quite obvious that there's a lot of jockeying for positions of power going on, as those that like to call themselves the elite or the Illuminati wrestle for control of the earth and its people. And so, first of all, I would like to ask all the listening audience to pray for those victims, pray for those who have suffered either a loss of a loved one, property, stability in their lives, and that that whatever semblance of peace they may have enjoyed returns. And I think each of you in your own way can do that. I don't need to tell you how to pray. You know how to do that. If it happened to you, you would love it if someone else prayed for you. And so we can take that first step tonight and send our thoughts, our love, and whatever we can do to help those people. I know a group that's actually helping some of the victims. We talk about them from time to time on the show. It's death is a very dark topic, and yet if we knew more about life, we would understand that death is just a transition, and that on some level, souls do make a decision to move on, although they might not choose the means through which that transition occurs. They have to accept it as their reality. Ask yourself what it would mean to you if you knew where you were going after you finished your life. And I don't mean what others tell you, what they tell you in the church or in the schools or on the street or just amongst your friends. What do you know? What does God tell you? Do you have a relationship with the Creator? And if you do, why aren't you using it? Why aren't you using it to your benefit? Because we could change this whole planet overnight if people just woke up to the reality of who they are. And with all the pleasure and entertainment and joy and happiness and fun that we seek in this life, we have to deal with the tragedies, even the pain.
Since I've seen her face, 3 long years now since she left this angry place. Destiny called her, but too soon for her age. Oh, if I'd only listened, she might be here today. She's moving with the wind, and all I do is worry about the pain she must be in. If only I could see you, tell me why you didn't write. Now there's no one there to defend you, and I can't sleep at night.
That was the Yellow Jackets. Even the pain. Even the pain. We can't escape the pain. We can certainly try to understand what's going on, and we're going to try to bring some rationality to this whole issue. Let me preface my remarks, first of all, by bringing tonight's guest on board. He is our resident science advisor at Evident Footprints, a weekly guest on Friday nights. He is a scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher. My co-host, Mr. Jim Murray. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don. How are you this evening?
Well, I'm doing well. I haven't been affected by an earthquake or a tsunami, so I guess there's not much to complain about, is there?
Well, thank God. In our little corner of the world, things seem to be reasonably stable at the moment. But I'll tell you, I have received an enormous number of emails from friends around the world, and it's just amazing how this is being interpreted.
And
you want me to elucidate?
By all means, that could make for a very interesting show.
Well, I was kind of surprised. A lot of people are interpreting this. Of course, you know, I say a lot of people, maybe 10 or 15, but so that's not a lot of people with respect to the Earth's population, but it's a lot of people to be writing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is that some people are literally looking at this as a punishment from God for the way we're treating the Earth. Some people are looking at this as some kind of a high-tech attack on the Japanese. Other people are looking at this as a prelude to what can be expected in 2012. And almost everybody who wrote to me asked if I think that this is the beginning of the end of the world. I haven't answered a single letter at this point, to be honest with you. I just was not in the mood to address that issue. I have heard from a very dear friend of mine in Japan who was out of the city of Tokyo when this occurred. She was some 200 miles further west or east. I forget which way. And it would have been east. And she was saying that there was hardly any damage where she was, but she's heard an awful lot of damage was sustained in Tokyo. Not so much of the structural nature, although there was some problems at the airport and such, but she said an awful lot of people's personal belongings have been destroyed. Windows, mirrors, you know, china, glass of all sorts, and fragile objects. And, of course, there have been some deaths. The worst thing, I guess, is the telephone system, at least the hardwire system, seems to be affected pretty badly in certain areas. The railroads are all shot. Nobody's running the railroads. Quite a bit of problems with power plants, and they're very concerned about the nuclear stations. So it's quite a ball of havoc. And in the actual area up further north from Tokyo, where the epicenter occurred, there seems to be an awful lot of water-related damage. Boats and cars and all kinds of stuff have been hurled against buildings, and waves at least 14, 18 feet high have done a lot of structural damage to the more fragile homes. It's quite a mess.
Yes, so, I agree. I have many things to say about this. First of all, from the perspective of how it's presented to us, it always has to be a spectacle. in terms of the mainstream media. They've got to show us death and destruction. They've got to ramp up the fear factor, if you want to call it that. And their interest is in propagating fear. Instead of talking about the things that people can do to help, and I'm not, we certainly don't need the Bushes and the Clintons to start another foundation to raise money for them to steal. So that's not the way to help. But certainly prayer is one way. Prayer can do miracles. And it would set people upon the right path. Now, you mentioned God, that some people think that this is God punishing mankind. Do you or do they honestly think that God needs to trouble himself with that? We seem to be doing a pretty good job of that ourselves.
I don't think they mean that literally, as if a singular divine individual has taken it upon himself to, to ruffle the feathers down here. I think the way it needs to be interpreted, at least this is the way I interpret it, is that some people are concerned that there are forces in nature which, even though we don't understand them, maybe because it's represented by a different level of consciousness, can essentially take it upon itself at a certain point in time to set things right after we have taken the last several hundred years and possibly longer to raise havoc in every possible direction. I think that subconsciously people are sensing that the human race has acquired a karma with respect to our own planet, and that the more sensitive people are concerned that it might be time for payback. That's how I interpret the remark.
Yeah, I don't mean to sound like I'm belittling, the question or their view. I'm just emphasizing the point that God gives us enough intelligence and has basically laid out the rules as to how one is to live amongst other beings of the same species and how you're to treat those beings. Of course, man came up with this idea just here in America that the 10 laws that God laid before us are not sufficient, that we need another 23 million or so to handle what God overlooked. So I chime in with you. I agree with you that nature is alive. It's sentient. And the earth is an alive, sentient being. And it has feelings. And it certainly has an intelligence. It knows how to do what it does. And it keeps us alive. Yet, we are, not to use a pun or overworked phrase, but we're biting the hand that feeds us. And we're dumping in it too. And yes, I said that. we're not respecting the planet. And on any level, I'm sure any individual on this planet, human or not, could take some responsibility for that. The issue is that we haven't taken responsibility, or that the responsibility is always turned into some profit-making scheme by those charged with the responsibility of leadership. They're nothing. They're not made from the same cloth that a leader is made from. That's a farce. So what we really have is a criminal enterprise that's bent on destroying humanity, bent on destroying nature, and bent on destroying the planet. It's as simple as that, because every which way you turn, you uncover corruption. There's corruption behind everything they do and everything they say and everything they plan to do or plan to say in the future. Now, it's a knee-jerk reaction for us to say, well, they must have triggered HAARP, or they're using some sort of pulse beam weapons. We know they can do that, or they're using nukes. Well, consider what happened at the end of World War II. After the Japanese already surrendered, they still went ahead and bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And that's a lie that is the reason why the war ended. They didn't need to rip the fabric of time and space to cause the Japanese to surrender. The whole thing was nothing but a money-making scheme, planet-wise anyway, as every war is. So there was nothing different about that war, just the circumstances that our country got suckered into it, and by the traitorous actions of an infiltrator, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. But look at the end of the war. I could go on and on just about that. At the end of the war, they set off two rather large nuclear explosions. They called them atomic bombs. And think of the damage that that did to the Earth. Think of the damage that that did to the solar system and possibly to the galaxy. And it became very evident that we, as a species, were not grown up enough to handle such weapons. In fact, had we been grown up, we wouldn't have even invented them in the first place. So how can you expect an intelligent entity like the Earth, with its diversity of ecosystems and the way it responds and manages and transmutes information from the universe to its inhabitants and gives them life, sustains them in the process, all the while taking all of this abuse? And we're not talking about all the underground explosions done at nuclear test sites or on South Sea islands or under the ocean. And we've had so many of these explosions and events going on lately that the Earth eventually has to defend itself. Whether you want to call Earth a male or a female is up to you. But as a being, as part of the creation, it's being defiled. And it has a right to survive, and it will do what it needs to do to balance itself, to stabilize itself, to purge itself of all of this evil that's occurring. I see nothing positive in an earthquake other than to consider that maybe the Earth is healing itself by doing so, at the expense of some lives and some businesses and some money. You see, this becomes, well, there's 349 people died, but we know it's going to go up higher. There's 88,000 missing people. It was an 8.9 quake. Now it's a 9.0 magnitude quake, 8,000 times more powerful than we thought it was. And then they put out the information that it occurred about 1 mile below the seafloor. That is a lie. That is an outright lie. They probably don't even know how deep it was. But basically, this is at the base of the tectonic plates, about 100 miles down into the crust of the Earth is where this quake was. Fractures all over the place. Now, what would have spurred those fractures on in the beginning? And that's why I opened up with what I said about World War II and Hiroshima and Nagasaki. They use that as a mantra for us winning the war, and this country has gone to hell in a handbasket within the past 2 years and 2 months under this usurper that we have right now, which is just part of the same criminal element that's destroying everything else around the planet. The Haiti quake, we know, was artificially induced. The tsunami that occurred in 2004, in the same general area, but to the south of Indonesia. It struck Indonesia. That was artificially induced. This New Zealand event, however, was not earthly induced, but it was artificially induced. It was induced with technology. This event, I have mixed feelings, but from what I know, I would say that that this is the Earth fighting back. Now, whether anyone wants to put guilt on that, somebody has to be blamed for everything that goes on this planet. So who do we blame? What?
I don't think guilt is the right word, okay? I think that karma is the right word. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is because if you really look into the way things were handled, especially at the end of World War II, since you brought it up, I agree with you that the bombs did not have to be dropped. But as you know, I started my career in the direction of nuclear physics, and I was real interested in everything that was going on. And I talked to everybody about everything because that's the kind of a guy I was. And what I came up with from piecing things together over the years is that the real reason why those two bombs were dropped, and incidentally, they had others. They had enough to do 10 cities. They only decided to drop two. But the real issue was that here we had a pretty well vanquished enemy, and you know, because there was such negative emotions at that time with the Japanese, they knew that nobody would care if they dropped the bombs, and the real reason they dropped them was because they needed to test them in a real life circumstance. They already knew what it would do if you blew it up in an isolated desert environment with an artificially built town, which they had a couple of, and that was okay. But, you know, they wanted to see what would happen in real life if there were people there, if there were cars and trucks and machinery and operating factories and an assortment of different kind of buildings. And it was really an experiment for future weaponry. And so, in my opinion, when people can decide to butcher hundreds of thousands of human beings for the sake of categorizing the destructive nature of a new weapon, that incurs karma. I don't care how you cut it. That's the bottom line. And, of course, all the other things we've been doing against this planet, not only against our fellow man, but against the Earth itself, also incurs karma. You know, the interesting thing about nations is that just like individuals, an entire nation can, in fact, incur karma. And I think the United States has some pretty nasty lessons coming. That's my thought.
Well, yeah, I see it in the grander picture, sort of like you do, this whole nuclear thing. One would have to ask, why would you want to do this where you live? You know, the simple, and I'm saying on the planet, why would you want to do that where you live? We have enough evidence to show that they've been off planet long before they told us they had been off planet. And I'm not suggesting that they should take a nuclear weapon and go to another planet and set it off there or in space. The whole concept is insane. It's a destructive weapon used with the intention of attacking someone. Now, they can always spin the reason why that's done by saying, well, we had to do this to end the war. But what do? In less than 5 years, they were in Korea starting another one. And in a few more years, they were in Vietnam starting another one. And this went on and on. We can name the places in South America and Central America and in Africa and Asia and the Middle East. They love war. They love murdering, you see. So, yes, I agree. The karma is there. Now, we inherit that karma because we just go along with the program. We say, well, they said they had to do this and they did that, and I'm still alive, so everything must be okay. I've got my popcorn, my potato chips, my beer, my hot dogs. I can sit in front of the TV, and as long as it doesn't land in my front yard, I'm okay. Even if I have to get up tomorrow and go to work and go through the whole mindless process of providing my blood, sweat, and tears to prolong this insanity, this destruction. So you and I both agree on that, Jim. There's no doubt. I think if you just look at the very concept of even contemplating such a weapon, because it hasn't stopped there. They've gotten more sinister, and they've developed weapons against the people who are just going about their everyday business, abiding by their 23 million laws and God's 10, and giving major portions of what they earn to finance this. Again, they're promoting the war on poverty. I heard the Ohio governor, John Kasich, yesterday declare that we have to start a war on poverty. That war's been going on for how many years? 40, 50, 60, 100 years, if not longer? It's a farce. There's no war on poverty. The idea in their minds is to create poverty. That's how they obtain control. So there's no logical explanation for the declarations that they make to brainwash us and to get us to go along with this, to allow it. We do have to wake up and recognize that there are universal laws, there are galactic laws, there are laws related to the same laws apply to the solar system, and they apply to this planet and life on this planet and nature. And we can't keep violating those laws. Someone should say, well, you know, it's possible that we can split an atom and destroy a town or kill millions of people to keep them from coming into our sandbox and kicking the sand around. But what does that accomplish other than that? It doesn't accomplish anything. It immediately sets one up to bear the responsibility and take on all that karma. And then they pass it on to us. Even though we're not happy with what's going on and we disagree with it, it still goes on. We still allow it. And the Earth doesn't have to make those kinds of decisions.
And it won't.
And it won't, exactly.
That's the part that's so interesting. You remember about a year and a half ago, we did a show. I was good friends with Peter Tompkins, and he wrote a book in conjunction with another gentleman, the name escapes me at the moment, called The Secret Life of Plants.
Yes, I remember.
And one of the stars in that story was the guy Clay Baxter from New York, who actually was the guy who had worked with lie detector equipment, some of the most sensitive equipment in the world for that purpose. And he got the notion one day to connect his equipment to plants and see if there'd be any reaction. And we went through that whole scenario about how plants recognize people, how they have emotions, how they react to baby shrimp being poured into boiling water, and all these different types of things. And the reason I bring that up is because as human beings, we ignore the feelings of other human beings, never mind the feelings of plants. And so perhaps for the majority of people who are still slumbering in their consciousness, the idea that the planet can also be conscious might not penetrate. It might just be too much to ask for somebody to realize that. But see, here's the thing. The planet itself doesn't need our opinion to do what it knows how to do. And if we abuse it enough, it will take steps to terminate that abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And if it happens to kill several hundred million or a few billion people, then that's tough. It's just the way it's going to be. But the irony of it is, it doesn't have to come to that. You know, it's such a horrible negative trait of human beings to procrastinate till the very last minute and then panic. Why isn't there an intermediate territory where logic prevails and people say, you know what, we're headed in a pretty bad direction. Let's do something about it. You know, for some reason that's missing from the equation. And I don't know how many cycles it's going to take before this type of thinking emerges. But if we don't do something pretty soon, I think we're going to be in for a very rough ride.
Well, you just described that body. I mean, they presented it to us as the United Nations. But you see, they couldn't even do that honestly. They told us here in America that we joined the United Nations in 1945, in October of 1945. And in reality, we joined January 1st of 1942. That's when it began. Why do they have to lie about when it starts? Well, the United Nations has been exposed to be probably one of the most corrupt organizations on the planet, and they're pawning themselves off to us as if they're the very beings that you described that are rationally solving the world's problems, hunger and disease or starvation and the oppression of the weaker, underprivileged countries or societies or people. It's all word games. It's all smoke and mirrors. And none of it has to do with the creation. You see, when you talk about how and I agree with everything you said, the earth knows instinctively, intuitively, it knows what it must do, and it exists because it is part of the creation. It exists for the very purpose of supporting life and allowing third dimensional experience to exist with beings that are interested in transcending the third dimension from the experiences they learn while here. Well, it seems to me that the first lesson, the karmic lesson people are going to have to pay, is learn how to exist on a planet where you honor the planet and you reciprocate in gratitude for the life that the planet gives you as a support system. We could have been beings just cast out in space, just floating around endlessly in a vacuum and given the appropriate breathing apparatus or not to exist, either to take a breath of air or take a breath of something to stay alive. But no, we were given a planet that had clean air and blue skies and warm sunshine and temperate or moderate temperatures, we'll say temperate climates is what I was going to say, and pure food, pure water. But we're told, oh, that's asking for paradise. Paradise or perfection doesn't exist. Or it can't exist. Yet the very dichotomy in that is that to go higher, you have to strive for perfection. You have to eliminate your flaws. You have to learn and gain wisdom and put that wisdom into being. That's how you honor the creation. We're not doing that. Somewhere along the line, some nuclear weapon, some war, some aborted baby or a chemtrail or some plant that was hacked down with a machete contributed to what occurred in the past 24 hours in Japan. Is that to be blamed on the Japanese? By no means, because the Earth is quite capable of doing this all over the place. If that's what the Earth has to do to achieve a balance, and we're not even getting into karma, because what's going to happen when lands start rising and other lands start sinking into the oceans? Or what if the oceans were to disappear and all the water was to disappear? You know, the Earth is going to do what it has to do to stay alive. And there's going to come a point, you know, it's just like an animal that has parasites on it. Eventually, it's going to get upset and it's going to do something to once and for all get rid of them. It's not going to tolerate that forever. And really, we have become nothing more than parasites on this planet, eating and defecating in the same place, just like parasites do. Your comment.
Well, I certainly couldn't agree with you more. My mind was wandering a little bit while you were talking about those things, because I was kind of getting flashes about the, when you were talking about the raising and the falling of continents, I was getting flashes about the destruction of Atlantis. You know, so many people really believe that that was a fable that was invented by Plato simply to make a point about the nature of human beings and what things are possible and what things are not possible. But every fiber of my being tells me that it was a real place. And the thing of it is that they were known. I mean, this has been taught to us by prophets like Casey and come down through different writings that have survived all around the world, not just out of Greece, that the Atlanteans were not only almost worshiping technology, but that they were always pushing the envelope. And one of the things that is claimed to have brought up down their own destruction was their unending desire for additional weaponry. And, you know, they were messing around with tunnels deep under the earth and playing around with the telluric forces that could be brought to bear anywhere on the Earth's surface, and they were doing a lot of strange things. And it's very easy to say that, you know, Mother Earth just got ticked off with their attitude, and that may well have had something to do with it, but it's also very possible that they were the ones that started it. Some of these subterranean experiments and these undersea experiments that they were doing may very well have started a chain reaction of some sort that they were totally unaware of, and it became their demise. Now, just in case there's any relevance to that theory, and I admit it's only a theory, I can't prove it. The interesting thing is that the United States, in a lot of ways, bears the insignia or the hallmark of a reincarnated Atlantis, not only because we're a very materialistic and technologically based country, but also because of our attitude toward the rest of the world. And I don't mean the people themselves. I mean the elite, those Illuminati, the people who are quietly running the show from behind the curtain. And the point is that all of this stuff that we've been doing, and I have to say we, because we're allowing it, we're part of the problem rather than part of the solution. All these things that we've been doing, which are affecting every aspect of the world, don't be surprised if one of the first countries to catch hell will be our own. I mean, maybe Japan has suffered this time, but there may come a time when it's our turn. Now, I know for a fact that the United States Navy has found subterranean tunnels that come in from the Pacific Ocean and completely undermine great quantities of the state of California. And they've sent submarines in there to do underground explorations. And, you know, they may eventually get the idea to blame somebody else or to blame nature, you know, for causing a great quake, because it's been talked about now for how many years that we're going to lose California into the Pacific, and you know, parts of Nevada will be waterfront property. So don't be surprised, you know, if some lunatic gets the idea to help the situation along and put one of these devices that they've been playing around with underneath the state of California someplace on the St. Andreas Fault. And, you know, they might do this with a particular objective in mind, like, let's say, the destruction of California or the rearrangement of the western part of our continent. And I wouldn't put that beyond them, because they're soulless individuals and they're retrospective thinkers. They get an idea and that's the only thing that they obsess on. They don't have the mental clarity and they don't have the mental power to think forward in time. And so oftentimes they'll set things in motion which they cannot foresee the consequences of their own actions. And so just imagine that something like that was actually planned and done. Who's to say what the overall reaction would be? Do we really think we understand so much so well that we can take an enormous step like that for our own purposes, dark as they may be, and assume that we have done this with surgical accuracy so that nothing else will be affected? Well, there have been a number of prophets or seers, or call them what you will, that have come up with a map that demonstrates the rearrangement of our country, and it's going to be split into several pieces. And if that happens, something is probably the trigger to it. Now, I don't know what that trigger is, and that whole concept of moving the fault line for the sake of some obscure goal is nothing more than a totally theoretical idea. But it's interesting that it could happen, and it could have far-reaching ramifications. We know that there's a fault line that runs all the way from the Gulf of Mexico to the Great Lakes. One of the people that drew these maps, Michael somebody, I forget his last name, saw that fault line would actually open and separate the United States into two halves. And in addition to that, the east and west coasts would be submerged. So, you know, that's a very big rearrangement of the country as we now know it. And none of these things should be poo-hooed, because just because they haven't happened yet, and even if they never happen, it doesn't mean that Mother Earth doesn't have the ability to do it and the justification. And we're adding to that justification on a regular basis. with everything that we're doing on the surface.
Yes. Few thoughts I have. While you were talking, I was getting flashes. You mentioned Atlantis, and it occurred to me many years ago, even before I started researching, you know, I would look at pictures of the pyramids at Giza in our family encyclopedia, and I would go back and reread rather lengthy articles, well written, but if I were to go back and open those same books today, I'm sure I would see at least half of what was in there was nothing but a pack of lies. Because the intention is to form a compliance to goals that are planned to occur in the future. So when you read a book in 1955 or in 1960, and then you live 20 years, you've gone through a tremendous amount of programming, and you come to a point where certain things are worked out through the system, we'll say, and that's as an individual matures and they begin to grasp the meaning of life, or at least they begin to question the meaning of life and question their role and then question the role of others. And when you yourself appreciate nature and you see others that are destroying it, you ask, well, I'm not allowed to destroy nature, but why are they allowed to destroy it for their own means and to our detriment? Why is that allowed to occur? And I contemplated the deserts around the pyramids, and I said to myself, and I was quite young, there must have been a catastrophic war, likely with lots of radiation, that just killed all the life and turned everything to pulverized sand. And although they've gone in and they've in some of the Middle Eastern oil-rich countries, they have begun to plant trees and plants and lawns, and of course they build hotels and humongous palaces, and you have these extremes, and the people are living in shanties or adobe structures that the moment there's an earthquake they crumble, and there's massive destruction, and you have these opulent palaces lined in gold with gold handrails on very ornate staircases that don't even need to be there. These buildings are so big you could put a whole city in them and still have room to bring animals in. The extremes are evident, and then one has to ask why is this? Why are people suffering in these countries, and yet their leaders are living as kings, even though they haven't done anything to become a king? Nothing sacred. You grow up learning that a king or a queen somehow has a sacred dispensation. They've been appointed by God to lead the people, and for the most part, these you're talking about despots, autocrats, murderers, and thieves that have just wreaked havoc on the rest of the planet whenever it suited them, whenever they felt like they needed to expand their kingdom. So you can see that history itself and this propensity to produce endless war, to contrive the reasons, and it doesn't matter if they make sense or not. They tell us what they are, and we have to go along with it. Well, I think as a truth seeker, and any truth seeker has to ask themselves, why does God allow that? Well, it's a free will universe. Why does he give us the commandments? Well, to give us guidelines to follow. And if you adhere to those, you should have a peaceful planet to live on. Now, it also flashed through my mind while you were talking, and I had these thoughts, that I thought, what if I was on one of these planets one of these 2,000-plus planets that's listening to this show, Jim, tonight, right now. They're listening to what we're saying, and they're saying, we went through that a million years ago, or we went through that 1,000 years ago, or 100,000 years ago, or 10,000 years ago. And we know exactly what it's like. They're suffering the same birth pains. It's more like a primal scream, actually, that we went through. And they're facing the same evil that we went through. And it was only until we became conscious and recognized that we were responsible for our actions and that we aligned ourselves with the Creator and honored His creation that all this madness and this insanity stopped. Do you suppose that they're listening and thinking those very things? Because they could not have been given more advanced technology and more advanced understanding of the creation to be able to move about freely throughout the universe. Well, maybe not so freely, because they recognize that there's evil. They recognize that this is actually a spiritual battle between the forces of good, the creation, and the forces of evil, the destroyer. That's what's occurring here. This had been Satan's domain. That's changing. I think Satan's time is running out. He will have an existence in eternity, but it'll be one of paying karma, and all his minions will be paying that same price with him.
Well, you know, you brought up a very interesting point a second ago when you were talking about how these advanced races would not have the knowledge necessary for them to move around through space from one planet to another, and possibly even one solar system to another, or one galaxy to another, if they had not adhered to the cosmic law and raised their consciousness to the point where certain truths became evident for them. You know, the planets are separated by the emptiness of space or the vastness of space for that exact reason. They are domains of evolution upon which souls in different states of development are clustered together. And it's really an act of arrogance to assume that we have the right to journey to some other planet or some other expression of the divinity and raise hell over there when we've turned this place into such a nightmare. And I think that some of the greatest thinkers of our time, like Wilhelm Reich and Nikola Tesla that you mentioned earlier in the show, these people knew that individuals that have clouded intellects and are materialistic in nature and have no resonance with the higher frequencies of spirit will be denied certain types of knowledge. Because if they don't deserve to have it, there are forces at play that will make sure that they don't have it. And I think that that's a wise thing, because I'm sure that the same individuals that have turned this planet into a prison and into a slave camp would do the same thing elsewhere if they were given the opportunity. You know, if there was life on Mars and we went up there, why not have a war on Mars? Why not take over the Martians? After all, we've got the right to do what we please. You know, that kind of thinking can be very destructive. And in the past, there have been wars between planets right here in our own solar system. So who's to say that history doesn't repeat itself? But anyway, my whole point was that I think that certain types of technologies that are pivoting on a higher understanding of the forces that control our world and reality in general cannot be accessed until you reach a certain spiritual plateau. And I think that that's a very healthy thing. Now, interestingly enough, there are individuals sprinkled among us who have their personal consciousness at much higher levels and can see these other truths. And those are the ones that get crucified by the system. Those are the ones that produce beautiful things for the aid of mankind and have their inventions squashed or suppressed. By the way, speaking of inventions, are you aware of the fact that Congress just passed a ruling that from now on, it's not the date of priority of an invention that matters anymore? It's who patents the idea first. Now, if that doesn't open the door to every imaginable form of theft, collusion, and dishonesty, I don't know what will. But I can see the whole thing, the whole system is really heading downhill very quickly.
Yeah, now, what is the definition of who patents it first? Is that who usurps the patent pending first and gets a patent granted?
Well, it's like supposing I invited you to my lab and you saw something really interesting, which you were supposed to observe in confidence, and you rushed off and wrote a patent for it. I'd have no defense against that, because it doesn't matter if it's my idea, you patented it first.
Mm-hmm.
And you know exactly where that's going to go.
Well, yeah. The way it's been done, though, is they've stolen the work of others and put it in the name of the government or their corporations, the multi-corporations.
But with the old system, you had a recourse if you kept notes or if you could prove that it was your idea. Now, it doesn't make any difference. The law is rewritten, so you could have 50, 60 years of research with everything dated, notarized, all kinds of records and prototypes. It wouldn't matter. If one of the big corporations stole it from you, it's theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah. Well, it's quite obvious that that's been going on, and it's about money, isn't it? It's about money.
Yeah.
It's about the illusion. It's not about doing the right thing or doing the godly thing. It's what's in it for me? What can I take? What can I steal? What can I take for free? And bear no responsibility for having done so. Because I call the shots, or we call the shots, you see. That's been the ideology through the whole thing. Through our existence here. It's really insane. And I can't, you know, as tragic as earthquakes and volcanoes and tsunamis and hurricanes and tornadoes and floods and everything else that occurs on this planet is concerned, the things they profess to be doing to fix things are just lies to obfuscate, to hide or conceal what they know no one would authorize. It's just a bunch of word games. And to keep you in the game, they publish crossword puzzles in the newspapers so that after you've read the propaganda, you can play a game that really means nothing. It proves nothing other than that they can keep your attention distracted a little bit longer. You know, it's this reality is worn out. It's lost the life force that it has. They've sucked the life force from the hosts as the parasites they are. They've sucked out the life force from the hosts they've been feeding off since we've been on this planet. And there are those of us, I'm thoroughly convinced, that came here to undo this. To draw attention to what's been done and what is being done and what's planned. But now you're seeing nature take a part too. play a role. Nature is going to not tolerate it anymore, and that's why you have these disasters. But these are not things that are out of our control. The cause of them is our responsibility. So we've contributed. And I'm not saying you, Jim, or me, or the average listener out there is responsible for creating the atomic bomb or the hydrogen bomb or the neutron bomb or any of the other bombs that they have. Why is it that bombs have to be the answer to the world's problems? Why can't peace and love and silence be an answer? You know,
because of the fact that if that was the situation that prevailed, then these useless imbeciles who are running everything would have to do something for a living. Do you know that if you take any of these high-crust individuals and actually put them in the real world, they'll fail? When did you ever see a politician who could do anything? When did you ever see somebody, you know, from the real upper crust that actually did something? And I'm not talking about having a cocktail party or a banquet for 1,000 people. I'm talking about something worthwhile. You know, the amount of money and the amount of wealth that's wasted by people of that ilk could feed nations, or at least put them in the position to feed themselves. But that'll never happen, because these individuals of whom I speak can only survive by milking the efforts of people who know how to do something. And the problem is that over the years, and I've seen this change since my childhood till the present day, they have manipulated the situation in this country to the point where the nation as a whole has been degraded. And while they probably have made trillions of dollars on this process, what they don't seem to have the intelligence to realize is that they are literally cutting the head off of the goose that laid the golden egg. Pretty soon, the United States won't be able to do anything. Oh, we'll be able to serve hamburgers and fries, and we'll be able to shuffle papers, but we won't be able to do anything that has meaning. Now, look at where China's going. They are putting all of their wealth into their infrastructure. And what are they focusing on? Mining, manufacturing, and agriculture, because those are the only things that generate real wealth. Tinkering around with papers and all these other useless things that we do in the so-called service industry won't get you anywhere when the nation collapses. There won't be anybody left who knows how to do anything.
Yes, I agree. You have a culture that's been raised on fast food. People don't know how to cook, let alone go shop, and forget about planting a garden and growing fruits and vegetables.
Oh, well, that's illegal now anyway.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to plant a garden anymore. You know, yeah. What do they call them? Fertilizer companies have seen to that. You know, you can't have a garden in your yard.
Yeah, it's just one insane thing after another. So we can mourn the loss of people when these disasters occur. Ultimately, who's going to take responsibility for this, Jim? You know, even you know, pushing nature to its limit. And it's always blamed on the people. Well, you're driving the cars. Well, you guys built the cars. You built them to run on petroleum. You're taking the petroleum out of the ground. You're destroying the seas by dumping it in the oceans. And you're destroying all the water on the planet with your chemicals and your toxins that you're spraying in the air. And the things that you're dumping from your factories, those that are left here, But, you know, these problems go on in China, where all the jobs have moved to and all the corporations have moved to. They've always had these problems. And they're making the pharmaceuticals there, too, now, because it's cheaper. They can make more money. It's always just about money. And yet none of us can take a red cent with us when we leave this place.
Thank God.
You know?
Just imagine if you could. You'd have chaos in the spiritual world.
Well, you know, they consider themselves able to live forever. They may have lived a long time. See, because we have to get into the aspect of who these beings are eventually, who are calling the shots. I referenced earlier this week, I referenced the story that I read about some scientists that got their hands on some meteor material, and they were looking at these rock cuttings with an electron microscope, and they identified some worm-looking creatures that were embedded in the material that these meteorites were composed of. Now, I don't know anything about the meteorites or the origin of these little worm-like creatures, but they look like worms when you see them through a microscope. This is to imply that there may be life out there in space, beyond the Earth. They're still pushing that idiotic, mindless excuse to mask their intentions and their actions and their corruption. If that's true, then we have to presume that the flying saucers that people have been seeing for the last 100 years on this planet, independently by the millions, if not billions through history, are being flown by those worms.
Absolutely. I mean, that's just pure logic.
You get my point.
Of course I do.
So actually, the worms have discovered free energy. At least they're able to move through the universe without paying for the ride.
Well, not only that, but if they didn't have the idea before, you've just given them one. So don't be surprised now if there's all kinds of commotion about, you know, the UFOs being linked to space worms.
You get my point. You see, why is it that humanity cannot think and really pay attention to what's being said or see what's being done and recognize how ridiculous it is? The things that they tell us from, you know, how many trillions of dollars has NASA gotten over the years, do you suppose, secretly?
Oh, God only knows.
Okay. And this is the wisdom that they bring forth? Then these worms must be the living creatures out there that have given the radio signals they picked up some time ago. I remember those announcements, too. They must be doing the mining on the dark side of the moon. And they must be the ones building the infrastructure and doing the terraforming on Mars right now as well. I mean, it just doesn't sink in. But people will jump on the idea of a planet that has a mind of its own and is going to come here and wreak havoc on us, or an asteroid that can do the same thing. And with these earthquakes and the tsunamis going on simultaneously, they bring their agents out and reinforce these lies to ratchet up the fear a little bit more, to ratchet up the ignorance a little bit more. These are the people running the planet. We're in sorry shape if we don't do anything about this. We really are. I don't mean to sound like I'm on a rant. It's just dawning on me, and I'm sure anyone listening to this, understanding what we're saying, even the agents monitoring the show have to agree that we're making total sense. That eavesdropping on what we're saying is not, shouldn't be construed to be undermining what we're saying, but maybe gain a little bit of knowledge and use some common sense and say, hey, why the heck am I listening to this guy to pick out words he's saying? I'm hearing the truth, and I'm gonna learn the truth. I'm gonna stand for the truth. Why isn't that the norm? Well, it's a battle against good and evil, isn't it?
Well, I think it has something to do with the fact that, you know, since childhood, you are taught to always look to an authority figure for the truth about anything. And so that's just another way of saying that you're not capable of thinking on your own. And so this is the reason why the news broadcasts and all of the other propaganda that we're bombarded with are so successful, because they come from what appear to be organized centers of authority. And so, oh, that's okay. I can digest that because it's got to be so. Doesn't matter what they say. As long as it comes from the right source, we'll accept it.
Yes. It's got to be an approved source.
Absolutely.
It's got to fit the agenda. It has to have all the earmarkings of our long-term goals on it, which is what? Let's create some more deserts with nuclear war. Let's blow a hole in the side of the planet.
Well, how about let's set off a hydrogen bomb on the moon? Remember when they were going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody said, well, what do you want to do that for? Well, we want to see what's going to happen. That's a brilliant thing to do.
Well, they used the pretense that they were looking for water on the moon.
Oh, so, and a hydrogen bomb would help them find it by boiling the water. Then they would see the plumes of steam come up.
By vaporizing it. Oh. Well, see, that was thwarted. I reported that on this show. And it was evident. You could see it on the look. On the face of the individual who was in charge of that project. They filmed him sitting in front of a monitor with his briefcase, and when it didn't go off on the surface of the moon, he was disgusted. He got up and stormed out of the room with his briefcase. You know, the briefcase being his crutch to let us know that he was smart and that It was closed. It might have even been locked, and there was a secret inside of it, and we weren't to know what it was. But you see, his face told the whole story, and the fact that the moon is still up there. So now they have to create more stories. Oh, we have a sun. We know there's a second sun. It's a dark sun, so you can't see it, but we know it's there. We just know it's there. Or that there's a planet on the edge of our solar system. We found a new planet, but we can't see it. So how do you know it's there then? You can't see the truth right before your very nose when you're looking in the mirror and you're going to tell us that there's a planet on the edge of the solar system. And there's another one coming to attack us, to take us over. They keep up these lies over and over and over again. And like the dumb sheep we are, we go on believing them. Meanwhile, we still have the war on drugs, the war on poverty, the war against terror. And they're the terrorists. So, and, you know, they're fighting with themselves is what they're doing. They're struggling for that last little straw of power that they might get. Or they're grasping for straws, trying to stop themselves from falling off the edge of the cliff. And they don't care if they take us with them or not. That's evident. And that's one reason why people should wake up. Of course, I would say those that aren't waking up and are determined not to probably fit the category of those soulless beings you were talking about. That there are people walking around on the earth that don't have a soul. They haven't earned it. And they're quite complacent and satisfied being in that state.
Well, I don't think it's a question that they haven't earned it. I think that the Creator endows everyone with a soul, but you can deplete a soul. I firmly believe that you can become allied enough with the dark side to just use up the essence that was allotted to you as a soul. You can use it up. And what happens to those individuals when their life is terminated? I think they just collapse into a heap of broccoli and rot away. And rightly so.
Oh, now you're going to make me wonder about broccoli the next time I eat it.
I didn't say as broccoli. I said like broccoli.
Oh, I thought you said a heap of broccoli.
Yeah, like a heap of broccoli.
Oh, okay.
There's nothing wrong with broccoli. Don't get me started now.
No, I like broccoli. I hate to see broccoli compared to that state. That's all. You know.
Well, then think of something, you know, really vile and disgusting and compare it to that, because it'll probably be more accurate anyway.
Mm-hmm. You know, in closing, Jim, we look at nature. A bird knows it's a bird. It looks like a bird. It sings like a bird. It flies like a bird. It eats like a bird. It lives, breathes, and dies like a bird. A horse does the same thing, or a cow, or a pig, or a chicken.
And they rarely mistake one another for
each
other.
They recognize their role in the hierarchy of nature. It's ingrained in them. They only know to operate according to the laws of creation. Now, we can cause them to become unnatural or to act unnaturally. One way is to imprison them in zoos. Another way is to poison them with the same substances that we're poisoned with. But can you imagine if, a cheetah, a mother cheetah trying to feed her cubs, made a kill, say a wildebeest, and drug the wildebeest to a tar pit and soaked the wildebeest in the tar pit, because that's what they, in essence, do with our food. How long would the mother cheetah expect the cubs to live after having consumed that? Yet, our leaders, those that rule this planet, do that very thing to humanity. Those that are fortunate enough to actually partake of such delicacies. And they put it in the things that they call medicine. They put it in our drinking water. They spray God knows what number of toxins in the air. And all the while denying that they do any of this. Or if they get caught red-handed, they say, well, it's for your benefit. These things aren't harmful. Well, if they're not harmful, why put them in there in the first place? The question is not that they're beneficial. It's always, well, they're not harmful. Or we haven't, studies show, our tests show, our lab results show. You know, we're talking about, with a bunch of alchemists. A bunch
of don't say that. They're not alchemists.
Well, they're trying to be. You know, what is it? It's alchemy. It's trying to change physical matter into something other than what it is in its natural state. You see? It all comes back to nature. It all comes back to the creation. None of what this planet is involved in right now is focused on that purpose. So we can only expect to see more catastrophes as a result until we wake up and start to take responsibility and recognize that we will pay. We do have a karmic debt to pay. You don't see it right now, although some have even suggested, and it may be very accurate, that we are creating real-time karma for ourselves. We're actually experiencing the karma right now because the earth is not going to wait for us. The earth is going to do what it has to do to survive, regardless. It's like what I say, the truth doesn't need our opinion to be the truth. Would you like to make any closing comments? This was a very deep discussion, and I think, you know, if people really listen to what we said, they can make the connection between these disasters that are happening on Earth and its relation, their relationship to consciousness or lack of consciousness.
Well, it's a difficult thing to make a closing statement on, because until something really positive is done, you know, the urge, the instinctual urge, is to just keep hammering away at it and trying to talk sense to people. But, you know, the thing that's so scary about it is, and I don't know if this is just a facet of human nature, or if it's the result of deep programming, or what you want to call it. But some of the very people that listen to this show and come to the conclusion that something needs to be done right away, and Monday morning they'll get up and go to work and forget about everything. It'll just be the same old story. And, you know, that's the part that is very disgruntling or frustrating to me, is the fact that even the people with the best of intentions fall right back into the same old slot and do the same thing over and over again, even though emotionally they may have been animated at an earlier time. Give it a couple of hours, give it a couple of days, and that'll be the end of that. And if that's truly the way that the majority of us operate, then I'm afraid we're in for a really rough ride. I can't tell you exactly when, but it's just like the young lady who wrote to me today and said, do you think that these happenings in Japan are the beginning of the end? And it's a signal from God, as she put it, that we better wake up. Well, it may not be a signal from God himself, because I think he's preoccupied, but it certainly should get our attention, because what happened in Japan can happen anywhere else, as you pointed out, Don. The earth can manipulate itself as it sees fit, and it will. And we've talked about this many times before, you know, but in the past it's just been idle chat because nothing has ever happened. But now we got something happening. And yes. I wouldn't be surprised if there are other examples in the near future. And that's really all I can say.
Well, it's well said. To respond to what the young lady said, I'm presuming she was a young lady.
Actually, she was.
Okay. What does that mean, the beginning of the end? The end of what? I mean, we're pretty much, and I think very accurately, describing the nature of life on planet Earth here. And so if it's the end of this sort of life on planet Earth, that's a good thing. And all endings create the opportunity for a beginning to present itself, a new beginning. And so there is something to look forward to in seeing this insanity finally being dealt with. Maybe the psychiatrist this insanity needs is the earth. And hopefully the earth, I'm sure the earth is quite aware of who's doing what on the planet. If you want to talk about revenge or retribution or assigning culpability and responsibility or karma for those actions, I think the earth will go after those that have been using atomic weapons to destroy the inner earth, the surface of the earth, the air, the space around the planet. That'll work itself out. It's not necessarily up to us to do it, but our primary responsibility is to reestablish the former connection that each one of us had with the Creator and the creation. And we should begin by honoring all of that. We should be grateful for the gift of life, and we should be honoring it in how we live it. I don't know how else to say it. To me, that's the answer to the problem. So if the end means, you know, what is it that people are trying to hold on to? What part of this insanity do people want to retain? Or this dysfunctionality? Let's not make it just a head trip, but you know, it's mental, it's physical, but it's lacking the spiritual component, and it's staring us right in the face. You correctly said, we have it inside of us. And we have to tap into that and bring it alive. We have to become that. We're called human beings for a reason. And for the most part, we're not being who we are in that sense. I hope my two cents didn't destroy your closing remarks. I'm searching
for
words.
I don't think so. I didn't look at it that way at all.
Well, let's see what transpires in the next week. You will be with us again next Friday, and I appreciate you staying up so late after the busy week that you have doing the great research and inventing that you do as a true scientist that honors the creation. And you always put that first in your work, and I know that. And anyone that listens to you knows that you do that. And so my hat's off to you. I wish you a great weekend and a very good night, Mr. Murray.
Well, thank you very much, Don. I appreciate that. I enjoy being on your show, and it's a privilege to be your friend also.
And if I might add, you know, we're folks, we're not telling you that we have all the answers, but we do have some of them. And if you make some logical observations of what's going on, you can escape the fear, and you can tap into that courage that you came here with. You've been told not to use it. You've been told to be afraid of it. Everything that you've ever done on this planet has been accompanied with a message of fear and untruths. You should, if you're searching for the truth, it begins with knowing who you are. And you have to do this, the self-searching. When you can do that, all the other opportunities and the solutions will present themselves. You've got to prove to yourself that you're ready for it, because those solutions are not going to be put into the hands of those that would use it for nefarious purposes. Again, Jim, thanks for being on the show, and I wish you a good night. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and our regular Friday night guest, Mr. Jim Murray. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network. Over at BBS Radio, we had Don Newsom on the sound tonight. Also like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me next Monday. Oh, and I said Don Newsom. I should have said Seth Hendrick, too, because Seth was with us at the outset of the show. So my apologies, Seth. Next Monday night, Dr. H. Uat will be my special guest. In the meantime, have a great weekend, and I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.